Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Custom window treatments are a small upgrade that have a big impact. No better time to shop than now at Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Save up to 50% site-wide. Plus, get a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
As promised, right now, let's give away tickets to see The Offspring, Jimmy Eat World, and Newfound Glory. The show's going to be Saturday, July 19th at Jiffy Lube Live. Caller number 10 right now at 800-636-1067. You're going to win these tickets. Tickets are on sale now for this show. For those tickets or more information, you can go to thefandc.com/events. Show's brought to you today by the law firm Condori and Murad. They will put together a medical power of attorney, schedule a free consultation with their attorneys right now at kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. Our Beltway Blitz on the NFL, the Commanders, and the Nationals starts with our buddy, the voice of Nats baseball on the Fan, Dave Jagler. Jags, quite a night last night for Robert Hassel, the much-anticipated debut 5 years in the making. First Nat ever with two hits, a stolen base. He also scored twice, game-winning run, had a third hit taken away. Not too bad, eh?
Yeah, and he did a great post-game interview with Craig Heist. I mean, he had the perfect big league debut. He was awesome, and it was great to see. It's tough to see Dylan Cruz go down, but we talked in spring training how you had the starting group of outfielders, and you felt like you had a great second unit going down to AAA. Well, that second unit's being called on because of a couple of guys banged up in the starting three. So great job for Hassel last night. First pitch in the big leagues, delivers a hit, gets a stolen base two pitches later, and then ends up scoring the winning run in a dramatic walk-off win. So all in all, pretty much a perfect day for him.
Jags, overall, the Nationals bullpen still has the worst ERA in the National League, and all the numbers aren't particularly kind to them. But that doesn't tell the story. Lately, it's been, I don't want to say good, but certainly not the worst, right? Yesterday, I thought it was a big, nice step forward for them to win a division game, keep them right there, give them a chance to win. What do you make of this bullpen as currently constructed?
Danny, I think it's perfectly fair to say the last 2 weeks it has been good. And I think the difference has been the emergence of a couple of young pitchers. Cole Henry, who's given up runs in one big league outing out of his whatever it is, 15 or 16. And Jackson Rutledge, who ended up pitching a great 10th inning, stranding the free runner. The Nationals have really struggled in extra inning games the last couple of years because they haven't been able to put down the opposing team with that free runner already being in a jam. And, you know, Ferrer's kind of backed off the eighth inning. He's been more of a fireman role, might come into the seventh, pitch into the eighth, was warming up in the fifth and the sixth last night. Lopez has kind of settled into that eighth inning role, faced the heart of the lineup twice in that series against Atlanta and did well. And you've got Finnegan at the back end. So, unfortunately, the two guys who were let go, Sims and Poche, they were struggling. The guys they've been replaced with are doing well. So as a group, the bullpen has been much better, and games where the Nationals are leading, they're putting into the win column, which is a very good thing.
Cole Henry, former second-round pick, looked like a dominant minor league starter before he was befuddled by injuries, and In his case, he had thoracic outlet, had a rib removed, but it's a great story. You mentioned he's allowed runs in one of 15 appearances. Everyone's mentioned that. Nobody's talking about the fact he's gone seven straight outings without giving up a hit at this point. And eight of his nine appearances this month in May, all scoreless, have been hitless. So he's been dynamite out of the bullpen. How about the debut again tonight now in the outfield among the Nats prospects in their system? We get another one. Dalen Lyle gets the call, Jags.
Yeah, really excited about this one. I mean, he opened my eyes in spring training. The only time I'd seen him before in person was the previous spring training, and that was for like one batter when he fell over the fence when we were doing the game at Fenway Park South over there in Fort Myers, and he fell over the wall and almost broke his back in the bullpen. Well, I mean, he just opened some eyes in spring training. I just talking to him in the clubhouse, I love what he called himself. He said, "I'm a scoreboard changer," which I thought that was a really great thing to say because he thinks he's a five-tool guy. He's got the speed. He's got the hit tool. Maybe not the biggest power yet, but he's got some pop, at least for doubles and triples, and he feels like he's an improved defensive player in the outfield. So, you know, Hassel one night, Lyle tonight. You're seeing the future, you know, with obviously what James Wood is doing and, you know, Dylan being down, but there's a strong group of outfielders, and we're getting to see them all right now.
Jags, preview this series with the Giants. Good club here coming to town.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to get their starters. I mean, they are a very good back end of the bullpen, very strong. They have one of the top bullpen ERAs here. But, I mean, the way the Nationals are playing, they've been jumping on starters early. We were clamoring for this.
Yeah.
They would kind of, go scoreless the first five, six innings, maybe jump into it late. I mean, they've been putting up crooked numbers seemingly every ball game in the first inning or two. So, they've got to jump on Landon Roop tonight. You're going to miss Verlander, who's hurt. Logan Webb's not pitching in the series, so I like the Nationals' chances. And guys, it's a big weekend here. We're looking forward to tomorrow. Jason Worth, Howie Kendrick are going to be here. They're going to be on the radio broadcast with us, part of the 20th anniversary. And if you have tickets tomorrow, get there early. They're doing a Q&A in the ballpark before the game. So we've got excitement with the present, looking back at some of the great moments in the past. The weather is going to be good. It should be an awesome weekend here.
That's great. Charlie Slows, Dave Jagler, going to be on the call right here on The Fan, our flagship home of the Nats in D.C., all weekend long. Jags, thank you, buddy. We appreciate you.
All right, guys. Talk to you soon.
See you, man.
Be good. That's five wins in a row and six in their last seven now for the Nats as they get ready for the Giants. Let's talk football. Our guy Mark Schofield helped us do just that. Mark, I want to start with the tush push. Were you surprised, A, by all the reporting that it was definitively going to be banned this week, and then B, that despite all that reporting, it didn't happen?
Well, guys, great to be with you. Yeah, I was surprised by both of those. One, it seemed like all of the reporting headed into that meeting that we had in Minneapolis was this play was going to be thrown out. They were going to ban it. They were going to get rid of it. And then we have this complete 180 where suddenly, oh, the tush push is back. You had 10 teams, teams like the Ravens, teams like the Lions, teams like the Patriots that voted in favor of actually keeping the play. I don't know what Jason Kelce said when Jeffrey Lurie brought him into that meeting. It must have been pretty emotional. There's reporting that actually got a little heated at times when they were talking about it. But tush push lives on for one more season. But, yeah, I was absolutely surprised at the reporting that came out before it. And at the end result of the vote.
Yeah, they got close, but 10 teams were cowardly, I guess, or like felt bad or were swayed by some sort of weird stump speech. We're close to getting rid of something that should always be gotten rid of in my mind, Mark, not that I'm leading the witness here, but assisting runners. This is more, I mean, Jalen Hurts doing quarterback sneaks without anybody pushing him would be great at it. He squats a million pounds. The line's really good. They'll have an 85-plus success rate the way the rest of the league does. It's weird to me that we're just sort of keeping, throwing runners forward and assisting them and linemen coming in and spearing piles to add yardage to it. It's different than the way it used to be. I don't know why that's not more of a priority for a league that supposedly cares about safety.
Yeah, it is strange that given all of the safety concerns, given the way the rule has been handled in the past, given how, like you said, it's not like you can like run up and physically throw a runner over the line of scrimmage or something like that, but we're now treating the tush push differently. And you're absolutely right. You are talking about in Jalen Hurts, a quarterback that can squat the entire gym, an offensive line that's extremely good. If these were straight quarterback sneaks, they still would be very good at it as well. So I don't know exactly what happened in that meeting, but it must have been something extremely persuasive, given all the reporting that enough teams weren't swayed. Now, maybe this means that those 10 teams that voted against the ban, they've got an idea that, hey, maybe we can finally do this too. Maybe we'll be very good at it. Maybe we'll see, all 32 teams suddenly very good at the tush push this season. Who knows?
Steelers quarterback situation. This has become something I'm asking almost every single football guest we have on at this point, Mark. I don't know how much you've written about this for SB Nation even in the last few days, but you got Aaron Rodgers, who's too busy for football, but he's on a 3-hour podcast with Joe Rogan. He is dealing with things in his personal life, but he might eventually play for the Steelers. Should they want Aaron Rodgers to be their quarterback? And I don't mean in terms of, you know, whatever takes he has. I just mean, is it better for Pittsburgh if he sits the season out and they lose some football games and then draft their guy rather than if he were to play and they go 10-7 and lose in round one again or something like that?
Yeah, I think that's probably the better question in this whole Aaron Rodgers saga. Not so much will he, won't he, where will he play, where won't he play, is should any team, we'll go with the Pittsburgh Steelers because they seem to be linked to him the most, want Aaron Rodgers at this point in his career with what he can and cannot do on the football field? Then I think from where I sit, from what we've seen from Rodgers these past couple of years, obviously he was out two seasons ago, but last year in particular, he's not the quarterback you really want to go all in for. Now, we don't know what the next quarterback rookie class will look like. Obviously, what we just saw was some question marks after Cameron Ward. We had Sanders fall, Jackson Dart in the first round. You never know what the next quarterback class is going to look like. But on paper, with Arch Manning, with some of the other quarterbacks that are in this class that we expect to take steps forward next year in the college season, it looks like a better quarterback class. So, yes, Pittsburgh could eventually sign Aaron Rodgers. They can go 9-8 or 10-7, like you said. They can get bounced by the Bills or whomever in the first round, and then you're shut out in the next quarterback class. It might almost be better for them if, as you said, Rodgers decides to do something else or they go in a different direction. They get through the season however they can at the quarterback position and are in a much better position to take a QB in next year's draft.
Not necessarily talking about an elite contender here, Mark, but just in your mind, give me a team where you go, you know what, I kind of like this group. Whether or not, again, that means 14 wins and home field advantage, give me somebody you think is going to be much improved or a group that you kind of found yourself vibing with this offseason to some team that makes you kind of go, you know what, I kind of like what they're doing.
We lose Mark. Mark, we appreciated the time we
Max
had.
Max Schofield.
It was short. It was sweet, but we loved it. Text Mark. Tell him thank you. Not sure what happened there. All right. Great question.
I guess it was too good.
It will not be answered.
No. We'll never, ever know what Mark Schofield's, who's got a good vibe this offseason team was. That's the kind of hard-hitting stuff. It's too hard-hitting.
Let's keep the blitz moving. We'll localize the conversation with our pal Chris Russell. So we've got windows here in the studio, and we were just all kind of hanging out. We started looking out the window.
Yep.
Because Bilal Coulibaly sometimes will walk by and different people. Chris Russell was walking right by on the street here in the Navy Yard. Guys in the Navy Yard, you know, more than...
Isn't it so weird?
Mackenzie Gore. I mean, it doesn't even make sense at this point. You got to pot his mic up for me?
Pot him up.
We need a little mic.
Pot him up.
There he is.
Hello.
Mike 3.
Hi.
Okay. What were you doing in the Navy Yard?
I was just walking around bringing flowers to some undeserving people.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
People that didn't deserve the flowers were getting flowers?
Yeah. Like Linnell and Toby.
Okay. Not like big sexy's ladies.
No. The Russellettes are retired.
The Russellettes.
That was such a good bet.
I missed the Russellettes.
That was a 10.
That was when Reenie was on the beat taking the rounds market to market. I used to watch Reenie get off the charter, and you think they were excited to see Rex Grossman.
Yeah, I was the sexy Rexy. I put sexy Rexy to bed, man, to rest.
God. That was big sexy.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, they had jerseys, Danny. You would have loved this.
Hey, Reenie.
Yes.
NHL, Stanley Cup playoffs. I'm going to ask you because I know you're watching. Yeah. Danny, respectfully, I know you're not.
No, I'm not. Cap season ended.
Dallas Stars doubled up Edmonton 6-3 in game one.
Power play, yeah.
Florida has now blown out Carolina twice.
Mm-hmm.
What are we thinking for a Stanley Cup final?
I mean, I I'm not going exactly on a limb here. I got to say Florida and Dallas. Now, I of course, we got to see how the Dallas-Edmonton series goes. And listen, Florida was down 0-2. To Toronto, went home, turned that series around, then won a game 7. So, I mean, just because you've won two games, even on the road, remember when the Capitals beat the Tampa Bay Lightning in games 1 and 2 in the 18 Eastern Finals and then came home and lost three games in a row, right? And then had to win game 6 and 7 on the road.
I just think, in the same way Carolina is a bad matchup for the Caps, we're going to talk later about how they look like a different team right now. By the way, still getting their shot attempts.
Yeah.
Still getting their shots on goal that supposedly should win them games, and they're getting blown out. But Florida... Just for they kick Carolina's butt. It's a bad matchup for Carolina.
And the one thing that I wonder is why exactly. But remember, they got Tkachuk back. They added Marchand, who I know you love. And Bobrovsky was weak sauce earlier in his career. He has completely changed and flipped his plight, if you will, his manuscript around. He is a big-time legitimate playoff goaltender.
Manuscript? Mm. Yeah. I like that. A book, document, or piece of music written by a hand rather than typed or printed.
Mm.
Manuscript.
Because you can picture Russell with a manuscript at home.
Absolutely.
I don't know why I use that word, that term.
You're always looking for a creative...
It's great to see you guys. I mean, you guys are friendly faces in the Navy Yard.
Yeah.
That's right. We're here every single day from 2 to 6:30.
I was roaming around last night in the Navy Yard, wound up at Nationals Park, sitting next to young Tobias.
Were you one of the people in the Navy Yard over at the yards this weekend that was being dispersed by local law enforcement?
I was one of the 9,000 at Nationals Park last night.
Oh, very good. Every time I open up one of those links, like chaos in the Navy Yard, I'm just waiting to see Reney running from law enforcement.
I don't know how they always get video, but they do.
They do. Slash Reney. One time it's Reney?
I'm so old and my feet hurt so much, I'm incapable of running away from... I mean, they could just have me. They could just pin me to a wall and arrest me and shackle me, and I'll never move.
If a cop starts chasing you, how many blocks do you think you could get away from?
About -4.
I'll give you...
Like, if you got a one street length on, like, a normal block...
Ooh, that's a good point.
Head start.
So think of it this way.
And someone goes, hey, stop!
Right. He's at the very end of the other block. Like, just cross the street.
Mm-hmm.
You're about to cross the street going the other way.
Assuming no traffic, nobody has to pause for a car.
Right. Megaphone. He goes, Chris Russell, we've got you surrounded. Stop. How far could you get before he catches you?
Probably about 100 feet.
More than 100 feet.
I'll give you 2 blocks.
Guy, I'm hurting. I am old. My feet just ache.
Now, you're gonna leave your suitcase behind that you roll with you.
Yeah. My roller bag. Yeah, right. My roller bag.
You just got to go.
My food bag. How are you guys?
Doing great.
Yeah, good, buddy.
I think
are
you're,
we building the stadium here or what?
I think you're slow playing.
What are we doing?
I think the stadium gets built in D.C.
All right.
Do you?
Do you not?
Yeah. Ultimately, I think it's a lot of politics right now, but ultimately, yeah.
I think if they build the stadium in D.C., you'll be downtown even more than you are now.
I mean,
because we always see it walking around the
Navy Yard. Roaming around. I mean, I'll have a new neighborhood to roam around in, right?
It'll be
the Roman Rooster.
It's a great place, by the way. That's a great place, by the way. I miss Roman Rooster. I miss a lot of things.
What, they're still around.
What else do you miss?
Well, I don't know.
They're
at
Nats Park.
Yes, they are.
What's to miss? They're 2 blocks away.
I wasn't talking exactly about that. But anyway, go right ahead.
Do you have any veiled references that are hard to follow?
Yeah.
You ever think of those? Those?
I'm sorry. Linnell was talking in my ear as you were asking. Okay. Do I have any veiled references
that are hard for people to follow?
And
then you say never mind afterwards.
Yeah, probably.
You and Linnell were on your way to being a big buddy cop movie series
and
around
something
here.
Something happened.
You guys just start, you would always be palling around, yelling at each other, screaming at each other. And now I never see you guys interacting. Is Linnell even on your show anymore? What is going on?
You remember
here?
The movie Twins with Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito?
I remember it well.
Right? I mean, that's kind of like we.
How would you describe your relationship with him?
It's complicated.
Like twins?
It's complicated.
Hostile? Is it warm?
At times, it's hostile.
Really?
Yeah.
Linnell, how would you describe your relationship with Reney?
I love my Uncle Chris Russell, guys. I'm on 106.7 The Fan today, so I will be polite. It's a HD 2 bit for us to bicker.
Oh, I see.
Because I think what happens is the debates don't turn off. There's never a pause button. Like, the commercial break doesn't affect them. They just keep going.
So I will say that about you, Reney, as one of my pals, stick aside. Like, you bring there's a great Dave Chappelle bit. My favorite comedian of all time. I love it. If I could have 3 people over for dinner, he'd be one of them.
Yeah.
And Dave Chappelle's got this story he tells about a woman who was following him around a mall, and he kept kind of looking over his shoulder. He's like, this lady's following me. And he gets out to the parking lot, and he's in his car, and she's still following him in 30 minutes. He's like, he turns around and is like, what is it? Like, what? And she starts wagging her finger and saying she disagreed with him, and how dare you say what you said in this special or whatever. And he goes, he uses a term I'm not going to use, but he goes, Mike, he goes, this is real life. Keep it in the comment section. And the basic point was, it's life. Now I can get back to Reney.
Mm-hmm.
Reney, like, if we interact on Twitter,
yep,
it's all he'll talk about the next time he says
it. Right, he doesn't leave it in the comments.
For me, it's just, you said something about something, I gave you a comment, and for him, it's like, we're now at odds over this.
Yes.
I've thought about it for 3 seconds and never thought about it again.
I mean, you don't see anything I do on Twitter because you blocked me.
Muted.
Not true.
Muted.
I've never blocked you on Twitter.
Muted.
I have muted him many times.
You have been muted before.
I don't think you're muted right now, are you?
Oh, let's play. Let's play. Is Russell muted? Is Russell muted?
Am I? I mean, maybe.
You're not muted?
Wow. Not muted. Not muted, everybody.
I am.
Oh, he's in it. He's in it.
Here it is right here. You have muted posts from this account.
Oh.
All right. I'll tell you what we'll do. I think the probation is over. We'll unmute Rainey.
We have an unmute.
Yeah, it's just, here's why it is, Rainey.
You don't want to see the brilliance, right? Mm.
It's that.
Yeah.
It's that, you know, the brilliance is obviously a lot for me to handle.
Yeah.
It's very bright.
I mute anyone who trolls me. You troll me all the time.
I do not.
And while it's, we're friends, it's great. We can do that. Again, you're going to do it in real life too. You don't separate the two. So we can do it here, and I don't need to do it online.
Uh-huh.
That's all.
I don't troll you unless you count the James Wood comment that I made last night.
I don't even know what that is.
Well, you didn't see it because he was you're muted.
Oh, did you tweet
muted?
It?
Yeah. Oh. I mean, you know.
I didn't see it. See,
to me, it's like, I don't have a better way to describe it than this. Like, everybody's Twitter account's like they're shooting a flare gun up. Like, hey, here's my opinion. You shoot your flare gun at my boat. You see what I'm saying?
It's a great way to do it.
I am trying. You guys accuse me of just walking around the Navy Yard aimlessly without a purpose.
We observe.
I am trying to make myself relevant. I am trying to make myself relevant.
But trolling and you know, aura farming ain't it.
But if I get your attention, you might talk about me, which is good. Any pub is good pub.
Anytime we're best pals. Just call me.
I know.
Just call into the show sometime.
Okay.
Have a reasonable take.
Show up, right?
You don't have to. Or just waddle over here.
Going Bilal's alley out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can hang out with Bilal.
You and Bilal.
There you go.
Coming through the same alley.
Nice to see you guys.
Good to see you as well. Ladies
have a good
and gentlemen,
weekend.
Chris Russell of 106.7 The Fan fame.
HD2.
On the deuce.
106.7 The Fan. You hear him every day at 1:45 with B. Mitch and Finley. Right here on The Fan. At 5 o'clock, we can, at that time, I'll tell you what we'll do.
What are we going to do?
We're going to talk K-Bert Ruiz's family seeing him play in person for the first time ever. And also, is there a walkaway point for Terry McLaurin? Next on G&D, should the Steelers actually want Aaron Rodgers? This is The Fan.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Custom window treatments are a small upgrade that have a big impact. No better time to shop than now at Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Save up to 50% site-wide. Plus, get a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
With Danny, I'm Grant. This is The Fan. Thanks to Chris Russell and the crew for the Beltway Blitz, Dave Jagler, Mark Schofield stopped by. Brought this up at the end of the segment, Danny, and it actually came up in the Blitz. I haven't heard this angle very often on the Aaron Rodgers conversation, so I'm curious what you think about it. Everybody looks at Rodgers to the Steelers from the perspective of, is he going to choose to play, and is he going to choose Pittsburgh? My question, and I don't think enough people are asking this, is should the Steelers want Aaron Rodgers? He is, and I don't say this disagreeing with any of his takes, okay? I'm not going through one by one what his theories are and thoughts are. It's not important.
Yeah, I really don't care.
And I don't hire players based on any of that stuff, to be frank. But he is a lightning rod. He is divisive at this point in some way. He is one of those guys when he comes in, you have a press conference that that's going to cut in both directions where there's going to be people really upset when you sign him. Now, that doesn't mean you shouldn't. But on top of that, I think you've got to figure out what kind of player is he. And if he's still really good and he's an MVP caliber quarterback like he was in Green Bay, he went 3 MVP awards, 4 MVP awards. He went back to back.
Yeah, at least three.
If he was still that player, I'll sign him. People can have whatever opinion they want to on a 4-time MVP. And good luck. Like him or don't. He was not good last year.
Right. That's the huge part of it.
He's better than Mason Rudolph, but he wasn't good last year. Mm-hmm. Is the juice still worth the squeeze? And the last part should be, if you're the Steelers, what is the end game this year with Rodgers? Are you going to win a Super Bowl? I don't think so. Do you? Are you an AFC Championship game at that point? If he gets you to 10 wins and into the playoffs, but probably not good enough to make a run, and with Rudolph, you're a 7-ish win team, let's say. Shouldn't they just be 7 wins, not continue the Tomlin had never loses has a losing record streak that doesn't matter at all, and be in a better spot to finally get their quarterback next year?
They don't do that. And now I'm not saying I tend to agree with you. The way that I view it is I go, they're perpetually in the middle. They're the Atlanta Hawks of the NFL. They're the St. Louis Cardinals of the NFL. Now, those teams, historically, and Pittsburgh certainly would be like this, they just don't do the rebuild. They don't do the we're starting fresh, starting over, knocking it down and try to build it from the studs. They've been competitive too consistently for too long. They are, what Mike Tomlin has done, frankly, I think is, you know, at times both underrated and overrated. It's underrated because people don't realize how hard it is in this league of parity to never have a slip up, never have losing seasons. And it's overrated because it hasn't translated into much. They're 10-7 pretty much every year and have been close to that for the better part of 10 years almost at this stage. So it's a great program. He's such an awesome coach. Like, he takes what they've given him and gets the most out of it every single year. They had a year a couple years ago where they were outscored. Their offense was absolutely dreadful on stilts, and they were winning games with a block punt here and a defensive fumble recovery late there, and just found a way to eke into the playoffs at 10-7. He does that, seems like, every year. It's incredible. They should tear the Band-Aid off and start over, but they just don't have that in their DNA. So they're sitting there going, well, this is the best way for us maybe to get a little bit better, and we'll take our chances and see what happens.
I've always been impressed by Tomlin. I think he's a really good coach. He's always been one of those coaches that I would really want to play for if I could choose to be in the NFL and play for somebody. But after a lot of years of not winning in the playoffs, which is where we are now, it does get to a point where you say, how important is it that you never have a losing season? Kind of an irrelevant statistic. I mean, it's a badge of honor that I'm sure they wear because we're winners and we're not losers.
Mm-hmm.
They have not won a playoff game since 2016. They have been one and done against Jacksonville, Cleveland, Kansas City, Buffalo, and Baltimore in the years 17, 20, 21, 23, and 24, respectively. They are 0 for their last 6 in the playoffs. And a lot of that comes back to quarterback play, in my opinion. And the only way they're going to get to a point where they're winning again in the postseason and having a chance to win a Super Bowl is with a quarterback. Tomlin cannot get them there. We've seen what Tomlin's excellence can get them. It can take an okay flawed team and make them 10-win good. It can take a pretty good 9-10-win team and get you to 12 wins, which has kind of been the high water mark. I think they had one 13-win season for him, but they've had 4 or 5 12-win seasons along the way with him. Really good coach, 630 win percentage in his career. But you don't win titles with good coaches. You win titles with good coaches who have great quarterbacks. And they are never in a position to draft a great quarterback. And they're never in a position, financially, it doesn't seem like, to bring one in via free agency. There's one way to do it for them. They have to be picking high enough. So they either trade two drafts worth of picks to go up the board 20 spots or something, or you just bottom out 1 year. And for them, bottoming out might mean 7 wins, and it's a lot easier to move up from 12
yep.
than it is from 23 or something. Maybe it should be this year. This was Tomlin at the owners' meetings talking about the future at quarterback and Rodgers.
He's a free agent, as you guys know. He came to visit last Friday. We had a really productive day. He's been in this thing a long time. I've been in this thing a long time. But it's no substitute for, you know, intimacy and spending time together and getting to know one another in a non-competitive environment. And so that was really good. But I don't have any new updates in terms of where the process is. We'll see where it leads us.
How unsettling is it, or is it, to not have this situation?
I'm really comfortable with being unsettled this time of year, to be quite honest with you. It's about talent acquisition. We got two main means of acquiring talent, free agency in the draft. We multitask. We do both. Those needs that we fulfill in free agency, we do so there, and when we don't, we fulfill it in the draft. And so I just learned over the years that this time of year, although, you know, day to day it could be somewhat uncomfortable, it is a process.
How hot is it?
No, he didn't ask that. Okay. He asked, why does Tomlin catch all the heat for the quarterback fiasco of the last several years and not the front office?
Mm-hmm.
I actually think it's a great question.
It is. It's very astute.
So, number one, I would say Kevin Colbert was the GM throughout the majority of the time without a QB. And then Omar Khan took over, who's now the general manager. They have made a change at GM, not because Casey wasn't good, but just because Khan hasn't been there the whole time. He's going to get a little bit less heat. But also, I think the Steelers, in my mind, I'll just speak for myself, that is a coach-centric organization. That's Andy Reid, Kansas City. That's Bill Belichick, New England. When you've been there for 18 years, I mean, did anyone know what Kevin Colbert looked like? Like, can you picture his face right now?
No.
I can, because I sat next to him on a flight one time. That's the extent of that. Even Omar Khan, who I think I could recognize in a, you know, in a...
in a lineup?
Lineup, maybe? Right? I can figure that one out, but... Is he in a calling the shots? Is he in a meeting telling Mike Tomlin, thanks for your input? I don't think so. I view it as Mike Tomlin is running that show. And I think that's why he gets the heat.
I think that's all true. There's the one thing I would add is I do think he's got a bit more influence than your average bear in terms of as a head coach. So maybe there's one grain more in the, if you're putting the marbles in the who's more to blame for the quarterback thing. But still, by and large, the front office is picking these sorts of things, and there's an organizational culture, and he's got input into that.
So you don't view it as Tomlin as Rivera running the show there? I do.
Well, I think he's
18 years later.
Yeah,
you think he's answering to Omar Khan? I do not.
Well, I think he's got a lot of influence. I'll put it that way.
But so who is the de facto president football ops? You think it's Tomlin? I do.
Yeah, I suppose. But I feel like. Yeah, I mean, but he's the guy that answers all the questions. He's the guy that's out front.
Totally.
So I guess maybe that's why, and that's the reasoning there. But yeah, I mean, when changes needed to be made, it took a while sometimes, but they finally were able to like move some assistant coaches and move on from a couple different guys here and there, and it took a long time to do that. So maybe you're right. Maybe it is Tomlin's outsized influence that maybe is why he catches so much crap.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. I want to know if Caps fans are taking any pride in the fact that the Hurricanes are being bludgeoned. Or does it make you feel better because maybe it was just a bad matchup? Do you feel worse? Because if Florida can do what they're doing to Carolina, Washington should have been able to. It makes the Caps look worse. We'll take inventory on that next.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Custom window treatments are a small upgrade that have a big impact. No better time to shop than now at Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Save up to 50% site-wide. Plus, get a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
So I'm watching the Hurricanes and the Florida Panthers Stanley Cup playoffs. Florida just blowing out Carolina last night. Carolina early in the game was doing some of the stuff it normally does. It was getting its shot attempts and the shots on goal and all the stuff we heard. You know, it was such a problem for Washington. And it's back-to-back games now where the Panthers have manhandled the Canes. By the way, in their building. The place where when Washington went, it was just the House of Horrors. And it felt like the Caps could play 10 games there and nothing would ever go their way.
Yeah. How many games would it take for you to get one win?
So I got to thinking about this, and I want to pose this question to you, and this can be our Grant and Danny poll of the day today, presented by Metropolitan Moving and Storage. Metropolitan Moving and Storage, local, long-distance, residential, commercial, 3 decades of best-in-class service and experience. Does a Carolina egg being laid against the Florida Panthers in this round make you feel better or worse? Are you happy about that or not? Because my initial reaction was I wanted them to lose, and I want them to lose immediately. Their fans are annoying. You just watch your team get beat. Some of those players bother you. The media is trolling you a little bit. Carolina Hurricanes are you know, zinging the airport, the Dulles airport, at, you know, on their Twitter accounts and stuff. And all that stuff just makes me go, please, Florida, beat this team. But then when you watch how easily the Cats are doing it, it makes you feel like the Caps are not as good.
Yeah.
Which, you know, is not reality necessarily, but it's just how it makes you feel. You go, well, wait a second. If they make Carolina look this bad, and Carolina just outplayed you handily and beat you in 5 games, boy, does that make me feel worse about whatever I am. How do you deal with this?
Yeah, so I've got both. This is kind of a two-plate situation for your pal. Plate number one, bleep the Canes. Thank goodness. Lose.
Like, you want them to get swept.
Oh, I would like nothing but losses for them in perpetuity. They can lose every game. They can lose in the offseason. They can lose when they're on vacation. If they play a pickup game of bridge on the team flight home, hope they lose that too. Screw them with an iron stick and a running start.
I do want them to get swept. I need that on record.
Second part. Doesn't make me feel that good that it's been that simple for Florida.
I mean, really simple.
This is effortless. Now, who knows? Things can change. Series is are wild. But it confirms a little bit of kind of what I thought for a while. That Montreal series kind of dispelled it a little bit. But again, if you look through the first 60 games of this Capitals season and then the sample since then, you saw a lot of stats regress. Some of the things were bound to happen. You're not going to shoot 14% from the field like it's like you're a center shooting threes. That's what their shooting percentage was the first 60-plus games of the season. That's unsustainable. Their save percentage went down. The shots against, their Corsi four, all the good numbers went lower as normal, and the bad numbers went up. A lot of explanations for that, but they still were happening. And the whole story kind of told me this was awesome, great run. They're not quite as good as we all think they are. And that Carolina matchup, paralyzing them, kind of reinforced that. And now that Carolina's getting waxed out of the postseason by a Florida team that looks poised to win a cup, makes you think the Caps may be a bit further away.
So that's a perfect assessment for kind of what I'm talking about. Because I think that's perfectly fine and true to say, you know, when they were the number one seed all year long in the NHL, mm-hmm. not in their division, but in the NHL, you know, maybe they weren't as good as the numbers or the record or whatever from a playoff standpoint. But what you just said is what annoys me. No, I'm not upset at you.
No, I understand.
But they've opened the door for this, which is people to incorrectly now question the quality of this operation this year or to talk about how far away they are. When my take, and it doesn't mean it's right, but we're just coming at it from completely different perspectives, I find it annoying when after the playoffs you go, oh, you're so far away, whatever. I just think it's a matchup league. What Chris Patrick, the GM of the Capitals, was referencing when he came on with us. Mm-hmm. All four of the top four teams in the NHL, by the way. The four teams in the National Hockey League with the most points all got eliminated in this round. They're all home.
Yep.
It's a matchup thing. And it's, you know, sometimes you execute, sometimes you don't. I think the games, by and large, were probably closer than we think. The most lopsided game, in fact, of that series, I still think, was the game where the Caps actually led most of the way and went to overtime in the game. Like, that was the one they should have lost 4-0. The rest of them were all much closer, and they had more chances. But to me, and maybe it's confirmation bias, because before the series I felt this way, and I said it before the playoffs, the only team that really scared me that I didn't want to go up against was Carolina. And I still can't tell you why this is, but Washington just plays their game and down to them and almost is like, it's almost like Carolina's in their head.
It plays into their hands somehow.
Whereas Florida has that over the Hurricanes. They eliminated them last year. They've now outscored them 10-2 in these two playoff games. Washington plays Florida a lot better, actually. It was funny because when we had the reporter on who covers the Hurricanes before the playoffs, and I said something along the lines of, you know, Florida's down 2-0 to Toronto, and he's like, well, we better hope they stay down because that team's hard to beat. Like, that was the Carolina guy was kind of worried about the Florida team. And I'm like, I'm not that worried about them. I'm more worried about you guys. Like, the Caps scored 6 goals and beat them 6-3 this year. They scored 4 goals and beat them 4-1 this year. I mean, the Capitals play Florida pretty well. They don't play Carolina well. And I think it's the same way for Carolina and Florida. So I don't view it as linear in the sense that, like, you can take a lot out of what it means for Washington. It's just a different matchup. It's a different series. But I also know that it opens up the critique of people see what they want to see. I'm seeing probably the way I want to see it. You're going, well, I thought they stunk going into the playoffs. And then the Montreal series happened, but that was Montreal. They kind of did stink. You know, and that's going to be on the other side of it.
Sure.
So that's the frustration.
Yeah, I don't think it's a stinks thing. I think it's maybe...
I'm overstating.
No, I understand. I think the point's standing. I smell what you're cooking. To me, it was a little bit of smoke and mirrors. And again, it doesn't mean the season wasn't incredible and successful. The data is the data, right? Like the point totals are the point totals. You didn't luck box your way into that for that long.
So what is the metric then? I mean, if you're that good all year, it's not like a month, it's a mm-hmm. full season. And, you know, you are...
You know, the most extreme example of this is that Minnesota Vikings team with a negative point differential going to the postseason. I'm not saying this Caps team is that, but this is the most extreme example of that where everyone's going, come on, you won, 14 games, but everyone knows you're a paper tiger. You're not a real contender. That's the most extreme version of this phenomenon.
But there's no data or analytic that would suggest that about this Capitals team. They were top five in scoring. They were top five in defense, which is normally like one of those... what's the guy's name for the NCAA tournament who everybody cites his data?
Ken Pom.
Mm-hmm. Like the Ken Pom is when you are in these categories, it's very rare, but you're like a legitimate contender and you mm-hmm. often go this far. Like the Caps satisfied all that stuff.
And then none of those were true for the last 30 games of the year. It was all
true, but
bad.
It's not based on the last 30 games. It's based on 82.
No, I understand
over
that.
Over history, I'm sure you could go back through all the last 30 on a lot of teams and it would look different.
Totally.
But at the end of 82, when your numbers are this, it normally means A.
I would say more often than not, maybe it does. But this time, the most recent sample was a goal a game worse in both directions, pretty much, in terms of allowed and scoring. Things were going, everything was regressing, which part of it's understandable.
And then the Montreal series happened where they said we're going to flip the switch.
They were good.
And they did.
And they were good.
And they just got bad again when they played Carolina and lost.
I don't know if they got bad again. I know that they weren't quite as good as maybe everybody thought when they were doing all these wonderful things in the regular season. And we also know there's very little correlation between the regular season and the postseason. Otherwise, the Caps would have gone to more than one conference final over the last...
But it can't be that the Hurricanes, who beat them more than any other team in the regular season, like winning percentage against them, it can't be that it was just a bad matchup with them.
Could be.
Yeah.
But but who knows? We'll never know what happened if they played Florida. I mean, Florida's now going to the 3 Stanley Cup finals in a row.
Yeah.
Carolina has been to 3 conference finals, I think, in the last 6 years, more than the Caps have in 20 years. So there's some correlation there beyond just, that's a bad matchup. Maybe it could just be a bad matchup. Maybe they would have beaten every other team in the postseason that wasn't Carolina. That just happened to be what we got.
I guess.
It's always so hard to extrapolate. But I have no earthly idea how it would have played out. I mean, would they have missed Martin Fervari as bad in a Florida series? I don't know. Would they have missed Martin Fervari as bad in a Toronto series? I don't know. I only know they missed him really bad in this series. I can't tell you how much better it would have been if he was there or not. I
mean, I'm just taking out my frustration on like all of the nonsense I hear, which is, you know, when it's social media noise mostly, mm-hmm. but it's like all these people that don't watch the Caps all regular season, that don't really know that much about the team, that say all year long they'll lose in the playoffs because everyone loses in the playoffs but one team. And then when they do, they tell you why they did it and why they're not very good. And it's just annoying, I guess, is kind of my point. But now that Carolina is, you know, is getting manhandled by Florida, it opens the door to, man, that Carolina team. By the way, you guys all thought they were the 74 Canadians about a week ago. You know, now they're getting blown out, and it's like, oh, well, they actually weren't good. So the same people that told me how they were this insurmountable, unbreakable force, the best team that's ever lived, the 85 Bears on crack mixed with the 2000 Ravens on steroids, now they suck, and the Capitals are so bad that they lost to them. So it's just one of those where if you don't win the championship, you know, you were awful, I guess, in hockey. That's just what I've experienced for 20-plus years from all the experts online. Grant and Danny on the Fin. Next hour, we're going to get into the NFL and the Commanders' defense. Who's the most underrated player on Washington's defense? But first, I want to talk to you about the Terry McLaurin contract and when it could come. You're listening to G&D.
Custom window treatments are a small upgrade that have a big impact. No better time to shop than now at Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Save up to 50% site-wide. Plus, get a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.